Well, this is, believe it or not, the last Sunday of the church year. Next week, believe it or not, is Advent already. Yeah, it seems like when I went to bed last night, it was August. I don't know what sort of happened there. But anyway, so this is a Sunday that is designated, at least in our tradition, as Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year. And so our two scripture readings this morning offer some perspective on thinking about Christ as King and about God's kingdom and about what all that might mean for us. We're going to begin our scripture readings with a brief passage from the beginning of the book of Revelation, and then John is going to read to us appropriately enough from the gospel according to John. And this is the story of Jesus encountering Pilate in his headquarters when Pilate asks him that question, whether he is the King of the Jews. As we get ready to read and hear God's word this morning, I invite you first to join me in a moment of prayer. God, we continue to be thankful for this time together and your presence with us, and especially in these next moments as we turn to your word. We pray you will make your presence known to us and that you will speak to us words that we may need to hear from you this day. And to that end, God, we pray you will open our ears to hear you, as well as opening our hearts and our lives to receive you and to live out what we hear from you this day. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, this is starting in the second part of verse 4 and reading through verse 8. Grace and peace to you from the one who is and was and is coming, and from the seven spirits that are before God's throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from among the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To the one who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood, who made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and always. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18, 33 to 37, and I'll be reading from the NRSV. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So are you a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of the Lord.
I suspect there aren't many people out there who look forward to Christ the King Sunday every year. Like, that's my favorite Sunday, Christ the King. Maybe. Maybe I'm too cynical and skeptical. And I remember, in some ways, in my earlier years as a pastor, I always thought, this is kind of an artificial sort of thing. The last Sunday of the church year before Advent, Christ the King, sure. But increasingly, I think there's a real value to the perspective that this Sunday offers us. And the reason we take this Sunday before Advent to consider the nature of our Lord, our Savior, as King, and the nature of God's kingdom itself. And particularly this week, as I was pondering these two scripture readings, a certain phrase kept jumping out at me. And it's the phrase that is the title of the sermon. That Jesus is the one who is and was and is coming. Or in some translations, is to come again. It reminds me of that threefold statement in the liturgy at certain points about Christ who has died, who has risen, and who will come again. These are reminders to us that our true King, our God, is one who is God of the past, the present, and the future, of all time. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That God is in all times and all places and over them all. Now this can be, especially say early on a Sunday morning, maybe something that can be hard to get our minds around, truly understanding that. How is it possible for God to be really outside of time itself? So I thought a little visual demonstration with the tables that happen to be up here today. So imagine these tables. This is time. And of course, we are stuck here in the midst of time. I mean, we have no choice but to live in the present moment. Everything before has passed. We can have memories of what has happened before. And some of us have better memories than others, but we can only access the past through memory. And the future that is coming, the very next moment from now, is unknown. We have our hopes and our dreams, and we have some who claim they can glimpse what is to come. But really, all of us, if we're truthful, are here in the timeline, if these tables are the timeline. Or like one of those chime players, if you notice, they were pretty focused on what they were doing up here. I suspect their director might have told them that. You know, they couldn't be looking down here, oh, I wonder what Rose is doing over there, or, you know. You focus. And we are stuck in time, focused on the present, this moment. But God is not in this timeline. God is outside of it. And that's why God is all-knowing, because God can see in one glance past, present, and future. Not that God controls the future necessarily. I do believe we have free will, but God knows the choices you and I are going to make today, next week, and years to come. God can see it all. God is, was, and is coming again. So unlike us, God sees the whole sweep of everything across time. You see, we don't have that luxury, so we get stuck and caught up often in this moment. And the often fears and anxieties of this moment. I mean, how many of you, like me, were kind of caught up in some of the news this week? And yet, God is the one who can offer us a perspective outside of that. I was reminded in thinking about time and perspective, we are in an election, well, we're not even in an election year yet, are we? But we're well into an election season. It seems like that doesn't really ever stop these days, does it? But You know, every presidential election that I can remember in my lifetime, some candidate or another has claimed, this is the most important election in a generation. And after you hear that time after time, you might begin to think, huh, I wonder if it really is, or if they're just saying that. But it's part of our human nature. I mean, we are people because we're stuck in the midst of time, that everything happening right now often seems like the worst, the greatest, the most momentous ever. That's one of the reasons I love reading and studying history, to remind myself, you know, the time I'm living in really isn't as bad as I might have thought. Or the other thing is, oh, all this stuff we're going through has already happened before. Details are slightly different, but terrorism, been around a long time. It's only recently that it's been done by Muslims, actually, or people who claim to be Muslims. For most of our history of terrorism, it's been done by people who look a lot more like you and me. It's an interesting reminder in the midst of things. The reminder that too often those who don't know their history are doomed to repeat it. But see, God, again, isn't stuck in this timeline. God can see all that has happened, all that will happen, and God can offer us some perspective. God's perspective of love and joy and peace and hope outside of the storm and drang of daily living. I find that perspective both challenging and quite hopeful. Challenging because it challenges my emotional response in the midst of daily life and events. That maybe the way I'm feeling and reacting, or my opinion about something, maybe there's a larger perspective that I am missing. Maybe it's God's perspective. That maybe God's perspective on what's going on in Europe with those refugees is very different than any of our emotional human responses to that. Or that God's perspective on how to address terrorism may be different than our emotional human response as we are stuck in the midst of this, not knowing what is to come. Maybe God's perspective is the same as ours, but it's certainly worth asking God, is that the case? But above all, I find great hope in this reminder on this Sunday that we are not to invest our true hope and faith in any earthly power, person or party or nation or military or anything of this earth. That our true faith and hope must be in our King, in God, and in Christ. It may not be anyone's favorite holiday of the year, Christ the King Sunday, but this reminder that we worship a King whose kingdom is so much larger than anything we are experiencing, anything we can even imagine, that we worship a God and a King who is not stuck in the midst of the anxieties and fears of the moment. That our God and King is so much larger and greater and bigger than all of those things. I find great hope and comfort in that. That there is a perspective much greater and larger than my own. So this week I invite you to keep that in mind, to remember who our true King is, our true Savior. And that salvation and hope do not really lie in any election or legislation or legislative body. It lies in our God and our King. So this week, I invite you to keep that in mind, who our true King is. And maybe that will help us find and remember our true hope, regardless of what the news may tell us this week or what may be going on in each of our individual lives. Friends, may we find inspiration, gratitude, and hope this week in remembering who our King is. Amen.